welcome to a special Bottle Logic Brewing Showcase episode of
Brutal Battle.
So another brewery showcase episode, and this one was kind of teased a little bit. Although I don't think I said who the brewery was, but these beers came from Craft Shack. So we had an episode that came out about our online beer store review for Craft Shack, and Craft Shack had made one of their own beer packages, variety packs, and it was specifically for Bottle Logic. So I was like, oh, perfect. We can't get Bottle Logic in Maryland, so let me buy this. So the representation of the different beers that they have, these are four different styles of beer, but they're all relatively light except for the last one. So, you know, we weren't able to, you know, hand pick like, ooh, I want this sour beer and I want this Saison or whatever. It was what was in the pack.
Yeah, we have a nice variety here, though.
Right. I'm excited for it. Although, like, the first two are very light. The third one is a staple and the last one's the real fun one. But I'm interested in all of them and I'm excited for all of them.
Yeah, this one's real light.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I forgot the order I put them in.
I mixed like, the order a little more.
Okay. So let's just start with a beer.
Yeah.
Because that's what Rebecca needs, you know?
Yeah.
So Bottle Logic is, just so people know, is out of Anaheim, California. And the first beer we're going to start with, by the way, these are all 16-ounce cans, is their Siempre Explorando. It's a Mexican-style lager, and what a can.
Yeah.
That is. The can art is so cool.
The can art in all of these is pretty cool.
And it has texture to it. Like, feel it.
Yeah.
Like, the pictures and logo and, like, actual letters on it are actually bumped out a little bit on the label. It's like
orange texture. And, like,
yellow.
Neon yellow.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So this is their Mexican-style lager, and the ABV is 4.9%. Sounds good to me. So let's get it. I'm going to move my notes over so I don't have a catastrophe. If I have any pouring issues.
Man, this is light.
Because it's possible. Well, Mexican-style lager. Going to be light.
What am I doing?
Well, I mean, you could drink from that one. Just typically you don't.
Such a pale yellow.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's probably like the palest beer I've seen in quite some time, to be honest.
Yeah.
Very pale looking. Yeah. It's real clear though. There's nice carbonation just flowing up from the bottom. Since it was poured agitated, it's got a pretty large white head just sitting on top. It looks nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells very light, very refreshing.
Yeah.
There's such, like, a snap of crispness in my nose as soon as I smell that. It smells like a beautiful lager.
Yeah, it's not overly robust. It's exactly kind of how you would think a beer like this should smell.
Right.
And nothing else. No frills.
I mean, I smell a little honey note, a little bit of a hay note, too.
And that's about it.
Smells kind of corn, like slight corn, which, you know, Mexican-style lagers usually have, like, flaked corn in it. Yeah, it just smells very, like, light and easy and refreshing. Mm. And, yeah.
Mm. It tastes like that, and it's definitely very corny.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of corn to it, a little bit of honey in the end. I think the corn is also making it taste a little bit... It's like corn and hay mainly going together in the finish. But super easy, super light on the body, goes down easy. I mean, a 4.9 makes sense. Yeah, it's tasty. It's flavorful. Flavorful yet easy. This is one of those beers that after we have been out on like a long walk or out running or working out or something, I can hit this beer.
Yeah.
After that.
We didn't do any of those things today.
Not today.
But that's okay. We can pretend.
Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about it. Just a little bit and then we'll do another beer. So the founders of Bottle Logic, like I said, in Anaheim, California, are Wes Parker, Steve Napolitano, and Brandon Buckner. And from what I understand, Steve Napolitano is kind of the main force behind the brewery. And I say that because he's mainly the only person I could really find any sort of articles about. So the information is mainly geared towards Steve. Now, I don't know if it's a situation where he's the main person behind it all. I mean, he is the president. That's his title, president of Bottle Logic Brewing. But yeah, he's just the one who talks to the media, I guess. I don't know. So they opened in 2014, although initially apparently they were trying to open at the end of 2013, but they had some sort of issues that delayed. I wasn't able to find out what issues that actually was. Although before they actually opened up in 2014, they did a collaboration beer with the brewery.
Oh, yeah?
Everyone knows that I love that, that
the brewery. The brewery.
And the beer was called Tumescence. So I find this a very cool slash interesting strategy of doing a collaboration beer with a well-known brewery before you even open up. And I think that's really cool. And I wanted to read you what the beer was. So the collaboration beer was a saison brewed with Brettanomyces, mangoes, and raspberries, and a selection of herbs and spices. That sounds tasty to me. So, yeah. So that's awesome. And then the only other thing I wanted to read about them before we do another beer and then talk a little bit more about their history, I always like to give some sort of like flavor text about the brewery from their own website. And we know these are always kind of like, yeah, whatever type things. But I just want to read you what their vision is off their website. Okay. While California has no shortage of quality craft beer, we feel that Bottle Logic is something special. Our commitment to excellence combined with a willingness to break and rewrite the rules makes us different. We aren't experimenting randomly. Each experimental beer provides new insight on flavor combinations and techniques that are as of yet unexplored. Our customers will join us on this experimental journey in one of Southern California's finest tasting rooms where new beers will be available each week for tasting enjoyment. And that points out something that I love about breweries, which is where they're like, we will have at least one new beer every single week, which obviously is a great way to get people to keep coming into the tap room. So
each week. Back when you could go to the tap room.
Well, it's going to happen again. When we're recording this, not a lot of... I mean, brewers are actually kind of reopening, but they're at... You know, you can only have like 50% capacity or something.
And only outdoor seating for where we are.
Yeah, at the moment, it's outdoor seating only. But I know there are probably some other places you can do indoor at this point. Plus, I don't know when we're putting this episode out. So people have context, we're recording this on June 5th.
Okay, we're going to the second one?
Yes.
Okay, so the second beer we have here is Charisma Check, which is a West Coast IPA, and it is 6.7%.
Now, this is exciting to me for two reasons. One, it's a West Coast style IPA, which is my type of IPA. And two, its art has a bunch of 20-sided die on it, and it's Charisma Check because that's a Dungeons & Dragons thing, or Pathfinder, where, you know, those tabletop games, role-playing, where... You have to do a check for a certain thing, and you roll the 20-sided die to see if you pass the check. So in this case, it is your charisma check.
Okay.
So I like that reference. Anyway, I'm very excited to get into this, because West Coast-style IPA! I hope it doesn't disappoint.
Is there a date code on the can?
I don't know. Let me look. Good question. I don't see any. No, there aren't any. Okay. So that sucks.
We're going to hope it's fresh.
Yeah. I hate it when breweries don't date code.
Man.
Very orange looking. A little hazy. Not a whole lot.
Dank.
Ooh, that smells good.
Ooh, that smells
it's
good.
It's interesting. It's got a more pronounced sweetness than I get from typical IPAs on the nose. But it's like a citrusy candy sweetness.
But it's like you get like this dankness and then a sweetness.
Yeah. And then it also has a touch of bubble gum that is... There's also like a citrus. So it's kind of like a citrus tropical bubble gum smell.
I don't get the bubble gum.
A little mango. Yeah, a little mango for sure. A little grapefruit mixed in there.
The nose changes a lot.
Yeah.
As you're smelling it, like the nose develops, and there's a lot of layers.
Well, on the very first sniff, I actually was getting a quick floral note in the nose, too.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
And I still get it, but it was more there on the first sniff and less on the subsequent ones, so I don't know why.
You said candied oranges?
No, I didn't, but I agree with that. I smell that in there for sure. I do smell a little bit of the alcohol, though. It does smell a little higher. What did you say it is?
It's only 6.7.
6.7. Okay, so it's almost 7%. That makes sense. It smells good, man. I'm pretty excited about this. It smells like it's going to be a little more viscous than you're used to with IPAs these days.
It is. It is viscous.
Yeah, a little bit.
It has a decent bitterness to it. Not as sweet on the taste as were getting on the nose.
Yeah, no. No, it's not nearly as sweet as it... Actually, it's not... I wouldn't even say it. It's really coming off as sweet, to be honest. It's definitely coming through with that floral aspect that I was saying I was smelling a little bit. It's there a lot more in the flavor.
It's a little lighter on the flavor than I thought it was going to be based on the nose, because the nose is so robust.
Yeah, I agree with that. Very floral. Very floral. This is like a honeysuckle in the flavor as well. And there's a, medium-low bitterness on the finish.
I think it's definitely more medium.
Yeah. Well, medium low. Oh, you mean higher than medium low?
I think it's just medium.
Okay. I think medium low, but yeah. The floral note is to a point where it's tasting almost a little potpourri-ish to me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not.
I'll have to drink these other two beers and then go back to it and see how I feel.
I mean, I definitely am getting the floral note. I don't think it's potpourri-y.
It's actually starting to taste a little soapy to me now, actually. So, I don't know. It's turning on me. Like I said, I'll go back and retry it later, but it's turning on me at the moment. Anyway, moving forward. So, Steve, I told you I mainly have info about Steve Napolitano. So, Steve Napolitano graduated from Chapman University with a law degree in California. He did some light homebrewing while he was actually in college, and apparently he was doing that as a way to kind of unwind in between studying, doing exams, stuff like that. All the school stuff, he's like, how do I relax? Homebrewing. And then later on, he did so much homebrewing that he started to feel a sort of satisfaction out of creating the beers and then being able to give them to people and get their feedback on it. And there was a quote from him in the article I found where he was just basically saying that he started to find like a lot of satisfaction in the positive feedback that people were giving him about the beers he was making. And just knowing like he created something these people were really enjoying. Well,
I feel like with any sort of craft, whether it's brewing, it's art, it's whatever it is, it's like, you do it because you get that satisfaction of producing something.
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what that's like. That's part of the reason I do this podcast. So he ended up eventually pulling some friends into homebrewing with him over time. And in 2012, he and his friends actually realized that they had some really good recipes. And they were really doing a good job with these beers. So much so that they were like, you know what? We could potentially make this a profession. So that's when they decided, let's put the wheels in motion and actually do a brewery. So that was in 2012. They were shooting for end of 2013 opening. They, were delayed on that, but finally did it in 2014. So that is that. So that's all I'm going to give you on that one.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could keep going, but...
Time for another beer.
Yeah, let's just do another beer.
Wow. Okay. So beer number three in our lineup today is Cantrip Kolsch, which is a German-style ale at 4.5%.
Excited about this one, too. And it looks like it just has like a bunch of coat of arms on there.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's pretty nice. What, did you say that? You said the ABV?
Four and a half. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So this is the other lighter style Carlin was referring to.
Yes. Yes, sorry. I was wrong about what order they were in, but I'm excited about this one because I like a nice Kolsch, and I don't feel like many breweries are really doing Kolsches. And actually, when I was looking at their website, they have another Kolsch on tap right now when I looked at it. Okay. So they're like two different Kolsches.
They do two different Kolsches?
Yeah, this one's the Cantrip. I think the other one was called Grip Strength, I think is what it was called.
Grip Strength. That's a good name.
So, yeah, this is pretty, very yellow.
It's very yellow.
Very clear.
Yes.
I mean, it looks pretty. Oh, that's a nice smell.
Yeah.
It smells like a nice Kolsch. You okay over there?
Yeah, I took like a big sniff.
Big sniffer. It smells a little like Pilsner malt-y to me, which is a good smell for me because I like
so,
that.
This nose is so light. It's even lighter than the lager.
You think so?
I do.
In certain ways, yes. Like, there is a honey note to this one, but I think it's lower than what was in the Mexican lager. Mm-hmm. There is a hay note. I think it's also lower than what was in the Mexican lager.
I think the Mexican lager had more corn than hay. This has more hay.
Yeah, I can see that. There's a slight floral note in this one. Very, very slight. Everything. It's not nearly what it was with the
just very IPA. Light.
Yeah, it smells good. I mean, I can recognize it as a Kolsch-type smell, but I could also confuse it for, like, a Pilsner-type smell, because, like I was saying, I was getting that kind of Pilsner malt, so.
It's definitely light.
Very light. Ooh, I like this, though.
Yeah, I like the Mexican lager better, though.
Do you?
I do. Because I like the corn.
So this has a little more of a kind of soft feel to it. It's almost slightly creamy in the mouth feel, in my opinion. Especially in comparison to the Mexican lager. It's smoother.
Yeah, okay.
And I think for that reason, I kind of like the Kolsch a little bit more. Although I'd have to go back. I'll have to do a retaste at the end of
this. You're going to have to retaste all of them.
Yeah, potentially. But this is good. It's really easy.
Yeah.
There is that little bit of honey to it. It does kind of taste like a nice Pilsner malt. It's got that hay to it. It's very light, crisp, refreshing, tasty. There's another one you could drink after physical activity. I would say
it's another warm weather beer. You know, this all of these styles, I think, are...
This is a good Kolsch. I dig it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay, so a little bit more information. So, like I said before, Steve Napolitano, he is the president of BottleLogic Brewing at this point. He also pulled his wife into it. Her name is Lucy, and she is the office manager. Now, initially, she got started with him helping with, like, washing bottles and tasting beers, which is probably the best job.
Yeah, I'll get pulled into that.
Yeah, but now that's, like, a business, she's doing the office manager stuff. They initially met at Chapman University, and they met during a mock trial,
because
they were both there doing that. That was in 2003 that they met, and they got married in 2010. So they'd only been married 4 years before opening this brewery. So that's a huge thing to do, only 4 years into your marriage, to be honest. So that's interesting. The other thing is he ended up pulling other Chapman University grads in to work, including one of the people who's the barroom manager. So that was cool. And the brewery, now I found this interesting. So when they opened up, they wanted it to be a unique space, that brewery. Because there's so many breweries you go to, and they have the same feel. They have the same look. They're all like, oh, it's like looks industrial. It looks like a brewery. So he wanted to do, and I guess this is kind of his passion, what he's into, what he calls retro future. And it focuses a bunch on Nikola Tesla, and he has a bunch of sci-fi books there, and people drink their beers out of chemical beakers.
What?
So the whole retro future aspect of it, it's basically what the feel is, what people thought the scientific future was post-World War II. That's the aesthetic. That's the design. So... Can you visualize what that
kind
would be
of
like?
Yeah, I feel like I need to be there. I want to look up. I wonder if they have pictures on their social media.
Probably. Yeah, so basically, post-World War II, whatever people thought, like, science, the future of science was, like, that concept, which a lot of it is encapsulated in older science fiction books. So that's probably why they have the science fiction books there. I thought when I was reading, that's a really interesting aesthetic to go with, and that really would set you apart.
Well, so it would definitely set you apart, because I feel like, yeah, you don't see that a lot at all.
Yeah, so I just thought that was cool. And then the only other thing that I wanted to say about the brewery before we do the last beer and then talk about, you know, their beers. They had a legal dispute. I couldn't find how this ended up. Maybe it's still going on. But they had a legal dispute with Platform Beer Company. Now, do you remember Platform?
Mm-mm.
They're the ones who had that Jim Day IPA
that we hated.
Now, I felt a little bit better about that because I found out they're owned by AB InBev. So I'm like, okay, well, now I don't care that I hated their beer because, you know, we hated AB.
So what was the dispute about?
Over a light bulb logo. Now, as you can see, their logo is a bottle inside of a light bulb. Going with the whole, retro future Nikola Tesla type thing. So, if you remember, Platform Beer also had a little kind of light bulb logo on that can for their Gym Day. they look kind of similar-ish. So that was the whole legal dispute, is that BottleLogic was saying, hey, Platform cannot use this because we've been using this and it looks too close to ours. So apparently, the judge in it had already said, yes, one, the first logo that BottleLogic had used was theirs, and there was one label, one representation that Platform was trying to use that they were like, you can't use that because it's too close. But apparently they had to do more disputing about a second logo that Platform was trying to use that was similar-ish, and there was a dispute on whether this logo would... Platform is saying they used that logo before another logo that BottleLogic did. I don't know. So, but anyway, there was.
I see that it's a light bulb. My brain didn't go there at first, though.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
That's where it's funny because when I first saw their logo, that's where my mind went first. Was it's a bulb, and then I saw the beer bottle inside the light bulb.
I just saw the beer bottle and just thought everything around it was just
decoration.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. All right. Well, let's crack this final beer and then I'll tell you about the beers that they
offer. It's kind of like those pictures. Like, what do you see first?
Yeah.
The shadow, like the shadow or, you know, what is created by the shadows.
So this beer is very college inspired, I would say. It's called Study Break, and on the can, it has, like, a calculus book, a modern physics book, and then it has a Snickers, a pinball machine, a, like, Atari joystick, and some peanuts. And Study Break is an imperial stout with lactose, cacao nibs, and peanuts.
Mm.
And it is 10% alcohol. So we're jumping way up.
So I know, so it's very different.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was saying is, like, three of the beers are way lower in ABV and are more kind of like, oh, okay, these are beers that, you know, not super serious, not crazy. This one, ingredients-wise, more interesting. ABV, obviously, way higher. So we'll see how this goes.
So it looks like a stout.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's not much to say. Since I poured it agitated, it has a decent head to it, so I can see it's a very brown head, which is interesting. Ooh, my goodness.
You definitely get the peanut.
That's the first thing that jumps out to me.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is like those roasted in the shell peanuts you get at baseball games.
Yeah. With a little bit of salt. I feel like I'm perceiving a little bit of like a salted peanut.
Yeah, no, I could definitely get that. And then there is like a slight chocolatey, a creamy chocolate that comes in after that.
Mm-hmm.
But the peanut is so front and center and so strong.
That's exactly how I smell it too. It's like peanut and then the chocolate and the creaminess.
So it appears that this is basically supposed to be a beer version of a Snickers bar. It smells like that pretty much, and it does have that kind of creamy smell to it as well. So with the lactose at play in there for sure. So.
Oh my gosh. This beer does not disappoint. It tastes like...
Whoa.
Doesn't it? The execution on this is so spot on. It does taste exactly like a beer version of a Snickers bar.
Wow.
And everything you're getting on the nose, like the peanut and the creaminess and the chocolate, it's all there. And the mouthfeel is amazing.
Yeah, the mouthfeel is awesome.
Creamy and...
It's almost like a milkshake.
Yeah.
It
does drink like a milkshake.
Yeah, and...
it's not sweet, though. I mean, it's sweet, but not, like, sweet like a milkshake.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and that's one of the big things, and that's a great achievement with this. So many times with these types of beers, especially with this high ABV, they get crazy sweet. And this has sweetness to it, but it's not super high for what it is.
It's in check. How about that ABV? I would never, ever guess.
That was the next thing I was going to talk about. Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, we're pointing out in the nose, it smells like kind of like salted peanuts.
Yeah.
It tastes like salted peanuts. And it's got this great creaminess to it, a really nice chocolate. Yeah, it's like a liquid version of a Snickers bar. Mm-hmm. This is good.
But I feel like when you say that, I feel like I would think, oh, it's going to be sweet like a candy bar, but it's not.
Yeah, think the appropriate beer version of a liquid Snickers bar. Like, not going to kill you with diabetes and all that.
And that ABV is...
Dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, I can perceive some alcohol.
Not 10%,
I mean, what would I say this is? Like, 8, maybe? Yeah,
maybe 8.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That could lead to some rough nights for some people.
This is really good. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was so excited about this, doing this, I kind of thought, like, I like the Kolsch, I might like the Mexican lager, You got to know what to expect. And then you get a beer like this, and you think, gosh, if this is executed well, it could be delicious.
Yeah.
But so often, sometimes
it's just not. Yeah,
like, I was worried, I'm like, is the peanut going to... be there, or is it just going to fall out? But this is a home run.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So while you keep sipping on that one, I'll talk about some other beers. So they categorize their beers that they put out, and they put them in the categories of Hoptometron, which is our limited release beers.
What?
This is a fun concept. So it's all hoppy beers that they release, and they're named as different parts of a robot. And they basically say that once they've put out all the beers, it will basically be all the parts to build Hoptometron, the robot. Theoretically.
So it goes along with their sci-fi
theme. Yes.
That's cute.
It's fun. Yeah. I thought it was a good concept. Then they have Cold Classics.
So what part is this?
What do you mean? Oh, no, not that. That's not... part of their Hoptometron series.
Because
those are limited
release. It's a series.
Right.
Okay, got it. I thought you just meant all hoppy beers.
These are some occasionals. They have Cold Classics, and these are mainly like more retro style beers. They have ones like She Shot First, which is a pale wheat, and Tattered Prince, which is a French style Saison. And then they have a series called Proto Series, which is just experimental beers. And they didn't have any examples of that on their website. It's kind of weird because they have the categories and they tell you what the categories are and what they mean. But for some of them, they had no beers listed under it. And other ones, it was only like one or two. So I was like, but they make more beer. So I guess they're just not updating
their
enough.
Website. Yeah.
So the Proto series is just experimental beers. And then they have the Induction series, which is their core lineup of beers. And the only one they put under that was Calf Life, calf spelled C-A-L-F, which is a milk stout.
Oh. So
that makes sense.
Nice.
I think it's a play on the video game Half-Life, maybe. I don't know, but just a guess. And then I just wrote down some of the beers that were on their website as being on tap right now. so I can give a representation of some of the more interesting ones. I didn't write down any of the hoppy beers, but they have West Coast style IPA, New England style IPA, hazy IPA, same thing. You know, double IPA, stuff like that. So some of the other ones they had were Lower Shields, which is a German spring lager.
A German spring lager?
Yeah, I don't
know. What the heck is that?
I'd try it. Magnetotale, which is an India Pale lager. Not a lot of people doing those. Anime Club, which is a red plum goza. Stealth Mode, which is a blueberry Berliner Weiss.
Oh, I bet that's good.
Komarebi, which is a Japanese rice lager.
Don't see that a lot.
Yeah. And probably the one you'd be most interested in, Handshake Protocol. It is an imperial stout with lactose, raspberries, and coconut.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah. It sounds pretty awesome. So,
especially yeah, so if they execute as well as this study break, because,
oh my gosh,
you know, that hopefully that, because coconut can fall out of beer so easily.
Yeah, that study break is, that's, yep, something. Okay. Going back to the charisma check, feeling a little bit better about it. Since it's warmed up some, though the carbonation seems high. I'm still getting that soapy quality. It's still very floral. So that's kind of not selling me so much on it. Going back to the Mexican lager, though. This was good before. Yeah, the Mexican lager's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's real tasty. Yeah, the flake corn in there, man. Well, what I assume is flake corn. I know that's typically how Mexican style lagers are done, but. Ah, but that Kolsch is so good, too. It's interesting because when I go from the Mexican-style lager to the Kolsch, the biggest difference that jumps out to me is it's different levels of some of the same flavors, mm-hmm. but then obviously there's that kind of corn mm-hmm. to the Mexican-style lager. But it's the Mexican-style lager seems the flavors are a little more sharp and vibrant,
mm-hmm.
whereas the Kolsch is more smooth and easy.
Okay. I can agree with that.
So it's like, what do you want? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. what's your thing?
What's your steez?
What is your steez? Exactly. Okay, so I know my order.
I know my order.
You don't even need to retaste anything?
No.
Okay.
I know.
I'm pretty sure I know your 1 and 4. Actually, ooh, no. I bet I know your lineup.
You want to guess my lineup?
It's a little tough for me to tell, but okay, I'll guess your lineup. So I think your number 4 is the charisma check.
Nope.
Are you serious? Okay, well then just tell us. Well, okay. I was going to guess that your number 4 would be the charisma check. Your number 3 would be the Kolsch. Your number 2 would be the Mexican style lager. And your number 1, the study break.
You're close. Except you have the bottom 2 reversed.
Okay.
So the Kolsch is my number 4.
Okay, the Kolsch is your number 4.
And then my number 3. The Cantrip Kolsch. Number 3 is the Charisma Check West Coast Style IPA.
Got it.
My number 2 is the Mexican Style Lager.
Siempre Explorando.
And number 1 is the Study Break.
Okay, got it. I wasn't far off.
No.
So for me, my number 4 is the Charisma Check. I'm not that impressed with that West Coast IPA. I don't really like it that much. My number 3, and this was really tough, is the Siempre Explorando.
Really?
It was very close. That was almost my number 2. So my number 2 is the Cantrip Kolsch. Those two beers are almost interchangeable for me with how much I like them, but I'm slightly preferring the Kolsch at the moment.
Okay. Well, I'm slightly preferring the Mexican lager. Yeah.
And then obviously my number 1 is the Study Break, because, so good. Man, that's crazy. So yeah. Good beers. This makes me excited.
Yeah.
They have more bottle logic on Craft Shack.
Oh, geez.
Just so you know. And at some
point, our fridge cannot withstand any more beer.
Well, it can now. We just got 4 out. We've been recording, so.
Yeah.
Like, weekly.
Carlin's like, okay, let's record. Let's drink this. Let's drink this. Because I know the motto is just get more beer in there.
Hey, if there's room showing, that's room I can put beer. That's how I view this.
See, I'm like, yeah. Oh, great. Now we can see our food. So shit doesn't go bad because I can't see it.
And then I'm like, no. Let's put some beer in front of that food.
And then I'm like, where's my half and half? Where's my...
Yeah. So again,
Have you seen the peanut butter?
This was fun diving into, you know, what's the deal with this brewery? And especially diving into the beers to find out how do they make beer? Yeah. What are their beers like? So I dig this. You know, I didn't quite like the Charisma Checks so much, but the other three beers I like quite a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's...
It's a good lineup.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. I'm totally good with it. So this is a good time.
I'm interested. I'd definitely drink more of their stuff, and I definitely want to see more of their stuff in cans because I want to see the can art because it's so fun.
The can art's super cool. Super cool. I think my favorite, well, I mean, the Charisma is great because I'm a nerd and the 20-sided die on there, you know. But for actual visuals, I think this Siempre Explorando is amazing.
They have like a T-Rex. And...
Yeah, it's a T-Rex. There's a rocket. There's a chemistry beaker. There's like a...
meteor or...
Yeah, there's a meteor. There's like...
There's planets.
All this science stuff on there. Yeah, it's pretty nice looking. And then a bunch of like flowers for decoration. It's cool. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Bottle Logic. I definitely want to try their stuff. We should order more. We'll have to. After we're done with this, I'm going on Craft Shack and just
looking.
Hold on. Yes, just looking to see what other type of stuff is on there.
You can look.
Until you go to sleep, and then I'm purchasing. No,
then he's like, oh, by the way, we're getting an order.
But, yeah. Anyway, this was fun. You enjoy it?
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for checking this out. And until next time.
Keep it brutal.